I am fantasy author L. Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes at an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2019, and this is episode 9 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. I wrote down the number, but then I was like, is that right? Did I not change it from last week? But it's episode 9. Yay! So a little, housekeeping. I wanted to thank the people who have commented at lpenelope.com/podcast and those who have written reviews and ratings for the podcast. Super, super appreciate it so much. So this week's best thing actually happened last Saturday. I got to go and see my very favorite singer ever of all time, Audra McDonald. She was in DC giving a performance at the Roundhouse Theater's fundraising thing. And I'd gotten the email maybe 2 weeks before saying, you know, Audra McDonald's coming to DC. And I was like, I didn't know this. How did I not know this? I don't always read all my emails, but like I'm on her mailing list and I don't know if it was on there and I just missed it. So I immediately got tickets before they sold out. And I was super excited. I brought my mom. And we went to see Audra, and it was fantastic. I love her so much. And if you don't know who Audra McDonald is, she's a Broadway singer. She's got 6 Tonys. She's also on TV shows. She's on Private Practice, and I think she's on another show right now. I don't watch a lot of TV. I haven't actually seen any of her TV shows. But she's amazing. She's got an amazing voice, and I just, anytime I can see her perform, I do. So yes, that really... When, you know, the phrase, something's giving me life, I could actually feel like invigoration filling my body as I was watching that performance. It was so great because, you know, sometimes, you know, singers you like or bands that you like, you go see them and they're all about doing new stuff. They're, you know, they don't want to do any of the old stuff because they've been singing it for 10 years and they're tired of it. And I totally get that. But I love it when they sing stuff that I know and love. And that's what happened. Audra sang. It's impossible for her to sing all of my favorites because she can't sing every song on every album. But like, she was singing like some of my very, very favorite stuff that she has on her albums. And it was just great. I don't want to belabor the point, but I just loved it. So in other writing news, I just finished sending out my newsletter for April. Newsletters take me a long time. I mean, it takes me at least an hour, usually 90 minutes to write, get the images, vet everything. I usually do a giveaway, so I have to set up some kind of form a lot of times. This month I was doing a reader survey, and fortunately I had my author assistant friend Marla put that together. But still, I had to write everything and put everything together and test it and reread it 15 times. And it's probably still got typos in it and check the links. Newsletters are big. I allot a chunk of time to do that. I was supposed to do it yesterday afternoon. It was actually on my planner. I had blocked out the time and I did not do it yesterday afternoon. I think I was actually reading. I got involved in this book and I was like, well, I can send the newsletter out tomorrow. Because sometimes I just needed to read some of those emotional times. So, but I sent that out. And I do like the newsletter. I mean, obviously, if you are a writer, the common wisdom is you need a newsletter. And I totally agree with that. You need a way that's direct, that you own. It's not Facebook and Twitter and Insta, you know, whatever other thing that may go and may stay to contact people, you know, your readers. But it's always like, oh, what do I say? What do I talk about? There's dogs making a lot of noise. I don't know if we can hear them. They will settle eventually. I try to do it every month. And at max 2 weeks, like if I'm doing a release, I might do, you know, 2 weeks before and then and do it a little bit more frequently, but never more than that. Unless you are a new subscriber and there's a brief autoresponder sequence. And so what happens when people subscribe is I send them a personalized video welcome. I started doing that about a little over a year ago, I think, which I love and people seem to really like. And then they get onto the autoresponder, which is like 3 emails that come out every week. And like in email marketing circles, you're supposed to not send the people who are in your autoresponder, your regular messages. But like, I figure I only send them out once a month, so they're going to miss stuff if, you know, they've been on for 2 or 3 weeks. So in that case, I don't know when those autoresponder messages go out. So they could get like 2 in 1 day from me. But that's a risk that I'm willing to take just to keep them informed, because they did sign up. And so newsletter. Just as an author thinking about that stuff, you know, that's part of the marketing, and that's part of the stuff that I haven't been focusing on recently, because I've just been focusing on writing. And I'm not really marketing my backlist right now. I did a little bit, and then I wasn't 100% committed and focused to it. So, and I keep thinking I'm going to write this third book in my Angel series. I have a self-published series that is an Angelborn series, and there's 2 books in it. And that kind of goes into what's next, which I guess I'll talk about now, because I, forgive me for jumping around. So Monday I sent in the past pages for which book? For Whispers of Shadow and Flame. And so it's off to the printer ostensibly now. And so now, and I'm, you know, winding down the revision. Tuesday I sent in the manuscript, the entire manuscript to my agent, Sarah, for her review of Cry of Metal and Bone, which is book 3. And that's the one that's due May 1st. And so I got to a point where I was like, I need to take a break from this. I was going to immediately go into the polish, but I was like, well, let me try to create some mental space. So I sent it to her Tuesday. I'm not going to look at it again until next Monday. So I give myself almost a week. Ideally, perfect world, I would get like a month off or 2 months off before I have to go back and look at it again. So I'm just super fresh. I've forgotten everything, but it's due May 1st. And so 4, 5, 7, 6 days, whatever number of days that is, that's going to be my little breath of mental space. And so even though it's not done yet, I still have to do a polish and write the epigraphs and do some stuff to it. I'm already thinking about what's next. Now, I do roll right into writing book 4 and the plotting of book 4. So, but I feel like I do need like a break from this world, at least a little breath of writing something else. And originally on my schedule, I was going to do the third Angel book. So there were supposed to be 3. And so 2016... about this time in 2016, about, I think it was April, is when I got the offer to republish Earthsinger Chronicles with St. Martin's. And I was like, okay, I, you know, made the decision to do that. And so I was like, well, I had this other series, and I had been going back and forth. So I would write, you know, Earthsinger, epic fantasy, historical fantasy, and then go to Angelborn, which is a paranormal romance, and it's contemporary paranormal romance. They're shorter books. They're 42,000 words. And so that really worked well for me, because I could take a break from the heavy world building and do something that was in our world. There is still world building. I do build the world of the angels, but that's only a small part of it. The whole thing, the majority of it takes place in our world. And so it was just great to be able to go back and forth, and I would do every other book. So, you know, send one to an editor, start working on this other book, when this book was at a stage where I didn't have to touch it anymore, work on the other one. And so recently, with, you know, the aggressive schedule I've been on for Earthsinger, I haven't been able to do that. I'm working on book 3 right now, and it's been back to back since last July, essentially, with the special edition of book 1 and then book 2 and book 3. So I have done stuff in between. I've done short stories that have been in like Heart's Kiss magazine, and I've done another short story for another anthology. But I could do another short story now. So essentially I'm trying to figure out what can I fit in while I'm plotting book 4, which is going to take a little while, probably a month or 2, to really tighten up the plot and make sure all the threads before I start my first draft. Can I fit in something else? And I have a lot of manuscripts that are in various stages that I could go to. And several of them are actually modern day, less world building, certainly than Earthsinger, that is totally second world. You know, these are all first world, either contemporary fantasy, sort of urban fantasy-ish, paranormal romance-ish stories, but I don't know. I haven't decided yet. And I have several. I have five or six that are in various stages that I have first drafts, because I used to do NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, every year. And so every year I'd have a new first draft of something. And meanwhile, it was taking me a year or two to turn that first very, very dirty draft into something readable. So I didn't get a chance to go back to a lot of them, or I did, and then I would be pulled off into something else. So I have several things that I've been working on, and some are closer than others to being something someone else can read, you know, and they're pulling at me, like, I want to finish them all. And so during this, but I don't think it's enough downtime to allow me to actually finish anything. And I'm not really sure, because I haven't looked at a lot of these manuscripts in a long time. But as of right now, I don't know. But I have this urge to work on something else, to work on something a little bit lighter, a little bit less mentally taxing, to have like a palate cleanser before I move right into the fourth book. So that's kind of what's on my mind now. In addition, of course, to the epigraphs, which is the next thing I have to finish before this book can get turned in. And so I think I explained last time a little bit about them, but I've been trying to figure out what the epigraphs of this book are going to be. So the first book, each chapter had a folktale from an in-world book. The second book, the first time I turned it in, I had epigraphs from all over the place. There were songs, there were poems, there were pieces of this and pieces of that off in the world. And my editor was like, I think we need to, like, you know, tone this down a little bit, like make it more cohesive. The first book had epigraphs all from one book. And so it was natural for the second book, because there was an in-world book that the character was reading, to have them all from that book. And for Whispers, which is book two, Whispers of Shadow and Flame, I had the idea in my head, and I could not get it out of my head, that I wanted this to be an epic poem. So this book that Kiara finds in chapter one, it's called The Book of Unveiling. It is, she's reading it throughout, and I wanted it to be in the form of this epic poem that tells a story. And I wanted it to be in iambic pentameter. So each chapter of this book has a six line iambic pentameter, 10 syllables, A, B, A, B, C, C rhyme scheme. And all 48-ish chapters tell 47. There's 47 epigraphs in this book. And so, yes, I wrote a 47-verse epic poem that tells a story that's in iambic pentameter. It's one of the hardest things I ever did, but I could not get it out of my head to do it. I really wanted to do it, and I actually really like it. Like, I don't know what the reaction will be, but I'm super proud of it, and I really love it. But I don't want to do that again. So looking at what will be the epigraphs for book three, I had a couple of options. There wasn't anything as natural as the first two books, with one book that someone was reading or that really related to a single character who had written the book. In one of the cool things about the special edition of Song of Blood and Stone is that I kind of retconned a little bit the source of the epigraphs. So in the new storyline, there is a character who has written collected folktales. She's an ethnographer, and she is in the country collecting folktales. It's a very, very tiny part of the new storyline, but it allowed me to connect things a little bit more tightly, because before, you know, it was just a very loose, you know, this is just stories from this world, and they're mentioned a little bit, but yeah, in the new storyline, I really got to connect that, and I'm kind of happy about that. So for Cry, I've been struggling. I think I have an idea that I'm going to just brainstorm some more over the weekend. And then on Monday, I'm scheduled to start writing the epigraphs. I'm going to keep to that. At first, when I sent the book into Sarah on Tuesday, I was like, well, maybe I will start working on the epigraphs early. But I needed a little break I've taken basically the rest of the week off from writing. I have been thinking, brainstorming, but I haven't been putting words on the page. And I think I'll just keep to my original schedule, start on Monday, and allow myself the time to really think. Because that's how, you know, that's how my process works best. If I'm doing other things, I'm consuming a lot, I'm reading a lot, I might even watch some movies this weekend, we'll see. Or some television, I don't know, I might binge something. But yeah, so that is where, that's where I'm at right now with that. And part of it was also kind of looking again at my original epigraph inspiration, which was Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler. And then also in terms of every chapter has an epigraph and it's from something in the world. And that was a really good example of it. Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson is also a good example of another book I really enjoyed that does this. And I kind of thought about something similar in that book. The epigraphs are like a diary from an ancient diary from like an ancient character, I guess you could say. But that didn't really flow into my world. I was like, I have this villain. I was like, oh, I could do the True Father's diary. But A, I don't want to be in his head. He's like a true villain. And I don't really want that. I might put some on the website. I'm going to make an Earthsinger website, an Earthsinger Chronicles website with like extra stuff on it. And so I had a few in the original, you know, the epigraphs that we pushed off and replaced. I had written a few entries from, I think it's called The True Father's Guide to Warfare, which is a play on the art of war and like his just messed up rules of warfare. So those like deleted epigraphs I'll probably put on the website when I build that, which will be soon. Sometime between now and July when the special edition comes out, I'll have this special Earthsinger Chronicles website up with cool stuff like that, if that's cool. It's cool to me. So yeah. Another thing that was really cool that I saw this week, the author Fonda Lee, who's big on Twitter. I follow her on Twitter and I don't like Twitter, but I do like to check in. Like, I don't like posting myself very much, but and I don't actually like being on it that much, but some people are cool to follow. And I check it like once a day just to make sure no one is talking to me and I'm not ignoring anybody. But she had a quiz on her Twitter a couple days ago, and I will link to it in the show notes. But it just really got me thinking about my why, which is something I brought out, I think, in an earlier podcast. So it goes, writers, the devil comes to you at night. Which do you choose? A, authoring 10 average novels that do okay before going out of print in your lifetime, or B, writing a timeless masterpiece only published and recognized after your death. So those are the only two options. And 10 average novels that do okay and then go out of print, or a timeless masterpiece recognized after your death. I chose the latter. And I was like, well, that guy really got me thinking about my why, and my just sparked a lot of thought. I was like, wow, like, because on the poll, 59% of the respondents chose A, the 10 average novels. And I mean, if these are the only, like, obviously none of the above would be ideal, but these are the only two options. Yeah, 10 average novels that do okay before going out of print, like, it really just got me thinking about what I want out of my author career and why I'm doing this. And because at times, you know, I lament my slowness and in comparison, which is never a good comparisonitis, never a good thing, but it happens to all of us. It's human. We can't help it. You know, you look around and you're like, oh, they're writing a book a month and making so much money and they're doing this and that. And could I do that? Could I challenge myself? Could I push myself? Could I kill myself trying to write a book a month? That's what the result would be. But I can't do that. And I don't want to, you know, like one of my very best friends in the world, it publishes so fast and I love her so much and she's doing so well. And I think it's amazing and I can't do it and I don't want to. And I think I've almost made peace with that. Like every once in a while, I'll be like, but, and then I'll be like, no, Leslie, you can't, you know, like you make these decisions, and come to these realizations, and it's not a one-time realization. It's like, it has to be, refreshed or re-realized often or sometimes at least. So yeah, and it's not like I think that I will write a timeless masterpiece that will be recognized after my death. But given those two options, that it would be my choice. And it's the lesser path, according to this very scientific Twitter poll. But grounding yourself in what you're doing, like I've said before, just gets you through the difficult times. And so whenever, I think I just need to kind of remember that and maybe have on a sticky note on my monitor, like one of these other sticky notes. The current sticky notes on my monitor are, one is the password to my website in case something happens to me and my husband needs to get onto my computer. The password to my computer, not my website. The other sticky note is a quote by Haruki Murakami, "Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional." And that is something that I think is really important. And I would like to integrate more into my life, that choice between the choice of suffering. Suffering is optional. You're always going to feel pain, but you don't have to suffer. Yeah. So next week I will be in Chicago. I will be speaking at the Digital Public Library, DPLA. I forgot what the A stands for. America. Digital Public Library for America. Fest conference. And on the Indie Tidal Wave, I'll be speaking on my birthday, April 18th. And so I may record this from Chicago. Depends on my situation, timing, Wi-Fi, whatever. I get back on Saturday and late-ish. And so I'd hate to wait till Sunday just in case I'm too tired. So we'll see. There will be a podcast. I don't know where I'll be recording from or how it will exactly go down, but we'll figure it out. So I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you later. Happy readings. For episode show notes and to learn more about me and my books, go to lpenelope.com. Subscribe to My Imaginary Friends wherever you get your podcasts, and check out the video episodes on YouTube. Please leave a rating and review to help support the show.